So we, this morning, will continue looking. We started looking at seven, why is wokeness an ungodly system? This is chapter 3 in the book. Again, if you don't have it, I encourage you to get it. Christianity and Wokeness, we're only looking at a fraction, teeny fraction of this book by Owen Strachan, S-T-R-A-C-H-A-N. There's a foreword in it by John MacArthur. I think he's linked somehow to the Master's University, MacArthur's University there in California. At least he was at one point. So anyway, very good, very solid. A lot of scripture, a lot of, there's a section in here that deals with specific questions people may have. And he answers those questions. What does the Bible teach about identity and ethnicity? And we are going to look, he has an Old Testament section and a new, we're going to look at some of the new when we, next week especially. And then the last week, week number 6, what can we do about it? What are some of the solutions? What can we do to try to refute some of this and to try to keep it from spreading? It's spreading like a cancer. A lot of this far left Marxist stuff is spreading throughout. It's like its tentacles, cancerous tentacles, are getting into every aspect of our society. Okay, so we started looking at seven spiritual problems of wokeness. Seven spiritual problems of wokeness. We saw first, wokeness tweaks the doctrine of humanity. They've completely lose sight of man being created and woman in the image of God. We talked about that. Secondly, wokeness unhelpfully groups people according to whiteness. And that is a problematic concept. By the way, newvisionbaptistchurch.org, all small letters, newvisionbaptistchurch.org. Click on Sermon Archives. There's a new edition there. A sub-menu will come down, and you can go directly to worship, Bible study, which is Wednesday night, or Sunday school. And it lists all of the, you know, separates them rather than having to go through everything to find it. So you can go back over this if you so choose. Wokeness. They're big into whiteness. Okay, we talked about that, and that'll come back up again. Number 4. Wait a minute, I do 3. No. Where is 3? For some reason, it's not popping out. Number 3, I'm going right to 4. Third, there it is, top of the page. Wokeness actually foments, I like that word, the very sin it presumes to critique, which is racism. That's when I gave the Coca-Cola example, the meeting there, the Coke company. Fourth, wokeness treats people as oppressors and oppressed, just like Marxism. Oppressors and oppressed. And they do it due to skin color and power dynamics. So if you own a business, you are an oppressor, period. And you're white, you're an oppressor. All right, number 5. Wokeness traps us into a cycle of anger and victimhood. We talked about this last time. Wokeness marches under the banner of tolerance, unity, and progress, but it is an ungodly system, and ungodly systems never foster Christian disciplines. So it doesn't work. It doesn't happen. 6th, wokeness gives approval to evil, both in the public square and in rejecting God's design for the sexes. They have no created order. That's the intersectional worldview, no created order. It's not just man and woman. There's all kinds of subcategories, LGBTQ. Now they have a XYZ and a plus one, plus two, and all kind of, I mean, I added the XYZ, but you get the point. It just continues to be added onto. All right, BLM, Black Lives Matter. Now, of course, they got kind of muddied because the leaders were taking the money and buying mansions. You know, that can hurt your cause, can it? But believe me, they're alive and well. Though we don't hear as much about them, they are alive and well. And I think it's important that we know a little bit of what they stand for, because according to the author of the book, BLM is the social movement that most incarnates wokeness. So if we want to really know, if you want to see wokeness fleshed out, Black Lives Matter is the main place to find it. So let's talk a little bit about Black Lives Matter. Remember, Christianity and intersectionality are diametrically opposed when it comes to the view of the sexes. In other words, they're opposite. So if that critical area, if we are opposite, should we even entertain that in the church? It's happening in Baptist churches. Again, discussions are going on in the convention. All these things are permeating even the church, buying into it. Remember the foreword by MacArthur? Bible believers, conservatives, evangelicals are always late to the party, every party, so to speak. Some are starting to wake up to this. Even in the world, they're waking up to it, and the church is buying into it hook, line, and sinker. Some. Okay. BLM. Here's BLM. This is their own stuff, okay? These are quotations from them. This is not what somebody's writing about them. We disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure. That is, you know, a man, woman, mother, father, child, children, the Bible family, the way God intended for the family to be. They reject that. They reject the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement by supporting each other as extended families and villages. Remember Hillary said years and years and years ago, it takes a village to raise a child. I always thought it took a mom and a dad. Now it takes a whole village. That's been years ago. It's gotten worse. That collectively care for one another, especially our children in italics or in quotes. To the degree that mothers, parents, and children are comfortable. But you must include transgender activism. You would think that 50% of our population was trans, wouldn't you? The way it's talked about and promoted and pushed and in everything and part of everything. And yet it's a teeny-weeny, itty-bitty minority of perverted people, and yet we're all supposed to embrace it and love it and promote it, and if we don't, we are horrible, horrible people. If that be the case, I am okay with being horrible. We are committed to, and this is their quote again, doing the work required to dismantle cisgender privilege. Cisgender, that's, you know, the way God intended male and female. They reject that there's just male and female. And we must uplift Black trans folk. We are committed to embracing and making space for trans brothers and sisters to participate and lead. But then they also have to include queerness, which is now a term of endearment. It used to be, you called someone queer way back. Of course, it just meant they were a little strange, right? Then it began to be used with a sexual connotation. We are committed to fostering a queer-affirming network. A queer-affirming network. When we gather, we do so with the intention of freeing ourselves from the tight grip of heteronormative thinking. That would be biblical normal thinking regarding family and sexuality. Rather, the belief that all in the world are heterosexual unless he or she discloses otherwise. So got to take a proactive. It's not enough that someone would come out and say, well, I want you to know that I'm trans or I'm gay or I'm whatever. Now, it has to be much more out there. Then they go on to say justice, and this is again their writing, justice as imagined by its organizers, not only about ending anti-black racism, visions of true justice must include freedom for black people who are queer, transgender, formerly or presently incarcerated, undocumented, or facing any number of other, notice this word, challenges. Now, the list I just read, what kind of challenges are those? Let me read the list again. Black people that are queer, transgender, formerly or presently incarcerated, undocumented, or facing any number of other challenges. What's true about all of those challenges? Are they placed upon them or are they self-imposed? You see the difference? If I do crazy, ungodly things and I'm not accepted because of it, and it causes problems in my life, isn't that something I've done to myself? If I go and rob a bank and I get thrown into jail, is it the fault of law enforcement or the judicial system that I'm in jail? No, that's a self-imposed problem. I chose to rob a bank. I got caught and I'm in jail because of it. I can't blame society for that. I can't blame the fact that I'm white for that or if I happen to be black. I committed a crime. BLM, Black Lives Matter, is against God's created order because they support homosexuality, they support transgenderism, and the demise of the natural family. They align themselves in the starkest terms against God's creation order. Scripture's clear about homosexuality, and we're going to look at the scripture in a moment, and there are many, many in the Old and New Testaments. And gender bending, the terms they come up with, I mean, it's just gender bending. It's like when they say you're fluid. You know, maybe today, you know, I woke up this morning, I had me a real strong cup of black coffee. Okay? I felt like a man. Now, there are sometimes, because I'll go in a restaurant and the waitress will bring, or the server, excuse me, the server will bring me coffee. And she say, do you want cream? I'll say, no, that's for ladies. Now, I don't mean that. They always laugh. Barb heard it so much she wasn't amused anymore. But so some mornings I might, well, it's normally that morning, but sometimes, like maybe this afternoon, I might like a little chocolate caramel creamer in my coffee. That's when I feel a little feminine. You know, it's fluid. And sometimes I may not be sure whether I'm a man or a woman, so I can like be in between. It's a great time to be alive in these United States of America, isn't it? And if I want to go to the bathroom and I don't feel like going and using a urinal, I can always use the ladies' room. I mean, we're bickering and arguing. The government is constantly forcing this stuff down our throat because they have nothing better to do, because after all, the economy, according to the president, is in excellent condition because a lot of jobs were created. We're still way behind what it was pre-pandemic. But nonetheless, even though inflation's going crazy, by the way, I was disappointed. How many of you go to Costco? You get your TP there? Not TP like you live in, like the Native American Indian. No, the toilet paper, you get it there? Well, I was disappointed because I bought some a while back, and sometimes, you know, you don't have to really worry about whether you use the old first with that. You know what I mean? There's no expiration date on it. And it used to be 425 sheets per roll. Now it's 375 or 80 sheets per roll. And, you know, they never told me that they took like 40 sheets off a roll. And, of course, they charge more. Like when I bought orange juice, I thought I was buying a half a gallon, and it wasn't. Same price. Actually, it's higher. But they made, notice your orange juice cartons are. I just threw that out because I thought you should know. not as bad as BLM, but it's kind of dishonest. All right, so let's see what God says. Now, I don't know what translation this is, but it really says it very plainly. And I'm sure if this guy used it, it's pretty accurate. It might be the English Standard. I don't know. But here's what God says, and we've read these in KJV many times over the years. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. Let me pause there for a moment and say this. I think one of the reasons why we're seeing it more so now than ever sweeping our nation is because we may be at the point as a people that God is beginning to give us up. For their women exchange natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die. That's a literal translation. Deserve to die. They not only do those things, but give approval to those that practice them. Romans 1, 26, 27, and 32. Now, we are at the point that giving approval to those that practice them, boy, that's big time in our society, is it not? In our media, in our government, I mean, it's push, 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 push. Embrace these lifestyles. Embrace all of this. Be tolerant or else you are a homophobe. You are this. You are racist. You are. And it has to be accepted. So not only do they want people to approve of it, they want people to embrace it and treat it as though it's as normal as anything else. And folks, it's not, and I will not. And I know they're even getting closer and closer now to putting preachers in jail that preach against it. It's been happening in certain parts of the world for a long time. It's coming to the United States. Because I don't know if you noticed, but these wackos are starting to focus more on Christians. They call them Christian nationals. You know, those that love God, love the Bible, love the church, and many love guns. Not that the Bible and guns have any correlation. It's just part of our freedoms that they want to take away. So, God said they deserve to die. There's another passage in 1 Corinthians that says that they shall not, those that practice this, will not inherit the kingdom of God. What does that mean? Are they going to be in heaven? Is a practicing trans going to be in heaven? Is a practicing homosexual? I'm not talking about one that has some mental issues and they have a tendency toward it. But they control it and they're not living the lifestyle. But if they are living the lifestyle and the Bible says they're not going to be in heaven, are they going to be in heaven because society says they are? Now, listen, are we to love them? Should we try to reach them? Would we throw them out if they came into the church and not disrupted, but came into the church, sat down? Of course not. Because Christ died for them. And they need to be saved. And if God saves them, God can change them into what he intended for them to be. That's the grace of Almighty God. So I don't want you to think there's any hatred. I hate the lifestyle. I hate what it can cause. And then they end up adopting children, perverting them. I'm not saying doing anything to them. Don't misunderstand me. I'm saying putting this, this is normal thought into a child's head, causing great confusion. All right, so the author says what we are warning people away from is not just bad behavior, but a disenchanted worldview. And he calls it neo-paganism. Remember, paganism is the anti-wisdom of the serpent, which deconstructs ordered reality, which is the God-made world, and replaces it with a new order, an anti-order, ruled by the devil. In this anti-order, there is no creator, there's no divine design, no male or female, no script for sexuality, no God-designed family with a father, mother, and children, no need to protect and care for children at all, no savior, no Lord, or theistic end to the cosmos, and no judge of evil. So they believe it's okay to invent gender and end marriage, not marriage between a man and a woman, making each whatever we want it to be. We can mess with God's created order. We can mess with his plan for family, mess with his plan for marriage, mess with sexuality. It's funny that this group, BLM, wokeism, intersectionality, all preach tolerance. How many of you heard tolerance on the news? You hear it all the time. Tolerance, tolerance, tolerance. They are the most intolerant groups of people on the planet. It's really easy to tell people what to do, and then you do the opposite, right? Pharisees did it. Who was the Lord hardest on? The religious laws, the Pharisees, right? Sadducees, elders, rulers that talked a good talk, but didn't practice what they preached. Well, that's these perverted groups. It urges us to approve of four major sexual movements: feminism, postmarital sexual and I practiced that because I knew I'd mess it up. It's not a hard word. Libertinism. How do you say that? Libertarianism. No. Libertinism. You got libertinism. Transgenderism and homosexuality. Each of these is part of neo-paganism. Why? Well, feminism overturns the biblical ideal of the woman. Sexual libertinism, I think that's how you say it, severs sex from marriage, encourages men and women to act sexually without respect to morality. And boy, isn't that true, right? God created sexual desires in the confines of marriage. It's not convenient, not easy. It's not easy. But that's God's plan. Otherwise, it's called fornication. Sex when you're married outside of your marriage bounds is called adultery. Fornication is a more general term. But God is concerned about sexuality. He is, no matter what society says. Well, they believe it all goes. Transgenderism revolts against the very concept of divine design in terms of identity and appearance. And homosexuality revolts against the sacred order in terms of sexual identity and practice. So these are neo-pagan. And it's becoming the norm. It's no longer the exception in the West. More and more it's the norm. The church must see the spread of neo-paganism in our time, for it is a crucial part of BLM's platform. It's not a new challenge. That's why it's neo-paganism. Paganism's been around since Eden. It's just gotten worse. Now, the true church has the truth. Amen? We have the Word of God. We know what the gospel is. We have the truth. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 2:16, we have the mind of Christ. We are not playing from behind. We do not have a weak hand, so to say. We have the truth of God. We know what the Bible says about biblical manhood, biblical womanhood, biblical marriage, biblical sexuality, and biblical creation order. We have it all. We have the answers. So the solution is to preach the truth in love. according to truth and joy and peace. There's no room for compromise. Too much of that's going on. Some of this stuff is being kind of accepted. Well, you know, maybe we should, we probably are racist, blah, 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 and try to incorporate some of this stuff. No. No compromise. It's all or none. You want to go the woke way, go the woke way. But we can't have both. Can't have both. It won't work. Can't straddle the fence. We proclaim the whole counsel of God and live by it. And then last is number 7, wokeness overturns the gospel. Remember, the gospel says there's no condemnation in Christ to those who are in Christ Jesus. Well, in wokeism and CRT, there is no release from the guilt. If you're white, you're racist. Period. You're white supremacist. You may not wear a, you know, Ku Klux Klan outfit. May not be active in that way, but the biggest offenders are, Midwestern housewives that have no idea that they're racist, but they really, really are. And so they must continually repent and admit they're racist and then become anti-racist, which means you get very actively involved in things like CRT, like in the community, holding signs, doing all that stuff, marching, whatever it takes. And continue to do that to the day you die, because there is no redemption. What about Christ? What about those that claim they're CRT and they're saved? What about, if you're white, there is no final redemption, not on this planet. So you have to live with guilt and admit that you're a racist for the rest of your life. Wokeness is evil, period. Remember, in the woke system, racism is not primarily an attitude of the heart. It's an ineradicable element of whiteness. According to them, racism is not a heart issue. Whiteness is the issue. Got to be less white. It's baked into American society. Every white person or person helped by the white people is guilty of benefiting from racism because the systemic injustice of this public order privileges whites in all sorts of ways. So they believe there's more for sinners to do than just believe and repent. So wokeness adds to the gospel. And if you add to the gospel, what happens to the gospel? Is it true anymore? No. Nope. I don't think it's another gospel. It's anti-gospel. It's anti-gospel. We have an extra layer of sinful guilt that the gospel just cannot overcome. So even a Christian is condemned by wokeness. Kindi, anything by Kindi, you know it's wackoism. The leading voice of wokeism in America today said this, and I quote, "More white people are finally beginning to realize how white supremacy and how even whiteness itself is killing them. It literally is posing an existential threat to humanity. It always has. And so fundamentally, anti-racism is life. It literally is. It can save humanity." So if you want to be saved, you have to live a life of anti-racism. So get your picket signs out, get your marching orders, and let everybody know that you're a racist and you understand it. And so all of our white underpinnings of our society need to be pulled out. And as one of the major leaders of this movement, college professor in California said, get rid of individual property rights, everybody sell everything, and all that money should be doled out to minorities and the trans and all the rest of the radical leftists. Wokeness is a replacement gospel. The gospel announces forgiveness and resulting innocence. Wokeness announces guilt and unending condemnation. But yet we know skin color doesn't really have anything to do with anything, because we're all one race. different ethnicities. And I gave the stats on from Ken Ham about whiteness and how there's such a teeny-weeny difference between the races. I mean, minute differences. We're all just people God created and Christ died for. There's no, again, condemnation in Christ. So this is man's gospel, not God's. Not God's. So that's just touching the hem of the garment. Any questions or comments on what we looked at today? Pretty sad, isn't it? And we haven't hit a lot of the actual, we did do some of the where the rubber hits the road and give some examples of this being implemented in our society, in our government. I mean, when you're teaching Navy recruits, you got a little cartoon with a man and a woman that sound like they're talking to kindergartners, and they're teaching pronouns, making sure you don't use the, because, you know, there is this, you heard the word microaggression. That's a word the left uses. Like if I say a word, even though I didn't mean anything by it and it's not really in itself bad, if you take it in a wrong way, then I'm guilty of a microaggression, and you have a right to be offended and to call it out. It can be very simple, very innocent. I mean, all of society now is walking on eggshells. And some are so afraid, they just don't say anything. A lot of conservatives, a lot of Bible believers don't say anything, afraid they're going to offend somebody. But if the gospel, if the truth offends somebody, whose problem is it? Yeah. There's no time to be timid. There's no time. There's no time left to buy into any of this or to promote it or not say anything and act like it's okay, because you're afraid somebody might get mad at you.